It's absolutely amazing how some of these things line up. A nice Andy Burcham liner to bring us back into the program as we are moments away from hearing from the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here on Auburn's First and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. My name is J.J. Jackson. I've got Tom Peavy, Javon Cutler, and Brooks Childress with me inside our studio for today's program. And look, it's been 25 years of sports call. Now 26, actually, because back on August 1st of 1995, the show debuted for the very first time with Andy Burcham and Bill Cameron behind the mic. And this past Sunday, we celebrated the 26th birthday for Auburn's First and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. And something fun that we've been able to do, we've been able to drag it out the entire year, is go back and revisit the top 25 Auburn football wins since 1995. And with the new birthday coming and number one on our list, we're able to conclude that conversation right now. The best Auburn football win since 1995 is the 2010 National Championship victory for the Auburn Tigers over the Oregon Ducks, to no one's surprise whatsoever. And who better to talk about it than with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, who's kind enough to join us now on this awesome day. Andy, how are you, my friend?
I am doing well. And how are things on 25 years, now 26 years of sports call?
Things are very well. As you just heard, we unveiled number one. We've reached it. We made it all the way to the end. Top 25 athletes. Mr. Cam Newton comes in at number one for our list. And I mentioned this a number of times. The Auburn Sports Network staff was kind enough to help us with the voting and averaging out of these victories and great time athletes. So Cam, the number one athlete, and we just heard the Oregon game, number one in the Auburn football win since 1995. Andy?
I'm not surprised at either of those. the thing that surprises me is that it's been 11 years since the start of that historic season at Auburn. That's what surprises me, is that it's been 11 years.
That game in particular, what do you remember about that? I mean, obviously it's a national championship game. There's so much lead up to it in that BCS era with the way that it was played out. All eyes on Cam, who's got his Heisman Trophy, and now the Auburn Tigers are trying to win a national championship against Oregon. What do you remember about that game, Andy?
I remember the incredible support that Auburn received on that trip. I remember that we did a Tiger Talk, a special edition of Tiger Talk, the night before. And we did it at a sports bar there that had hosted Super Bowl parties in the past.
Okay.
And it was a two-hour sports call. The place was absolutely jam-packed. As a matter of fact, Rod and myself and Paula and Jan were trying to make our way to the stage to do Tiger Talk that night. And a guy turned around to Rod and said, and it wasn't in a real nice way either. He said, "You guys aren't getting close to that stage," meaning you're not getting in front of me for this. And Rod said, "If we don't get to that stage, there is no Tiger Talk tonight." And the guy finally realized who we were and let us pass. I remember that the sports bar that hosted that night ran out of drinks because Auburn people supported Tiger Talk and that sports bar so very well that they went across the street and got drinks at Oregon's sports bar. Basically, Auburn took over the Oregon sports bar that night. That's what I remember about the night before. The game, I remember it took forever just to get through the media line to get inside the stadium because of all the security that we had to go through. And then the game itself. Listen, the game itself, you know, there was a group of folks that thought Auburn would not be able to beat Oregon because Oregon was much faster. There was a group that thought that Oregon would never stop the Auburn offense in that game. And both sides were wrong, because Oregon did a nice job against Auburn's offense that night. Auburn had no trouble with Oregon's speed that night. I remember the back and forth, the way that game went. Listen, Auburn's up eight, and if Cam Newton doesn't fumble the football, and then Oregon takes over and scores the touchdown with the two-point conversion, we never get to Michael Dyer not going down on the final drive, and we never get to the game-winning field goal and Auburn winning it. I remember being on the field with live interviews of the Auburn players after that game, and just the joy and the elation.
Can't imagine,
for the Auburn people after that game. I remember, and I did maybe two or three interviews in the locker room. Most of the post game we did, interview wise, was on the field. And then I remember walking from the locker room to the elevator to go back upstairs to the broadcast booth. And I called my brother in Illinois just to talk about, can you believe Auburn just won a national championship? And we both said, we really wish our dad would have been alive to see that game. And I remember then getting up to the broadcast booth, and by that time, Patrick Tisdale and Brad Law were starting to tear down the equipment after the broadcast. And the rest of us, Rod and Stan and Quentin and Bo Benton and those of us on the crew, just sat down at a round table behind our broadcast booth and just kind of looked at each other. And the basic thought was, can you believe this has finally happened? And for some of these guys who were second or third generation Auburn people, they had gone through the disappointment of 83. All of us had been through the disappointment of 93, of 04. You know, all those years where Auburn even didn't get a chance to play for a national championship. And now they finally had that chance, and Auburn won the national championship. And I remember riding back to the team hotel, and it took probably a half hour to get back to the team hotel, riding back with Rod. And it was still a very surreal moment listening to the post game on national radio, and getting back to the team hotel, and it was midnight by the time we got back there, and there was still a buffet open, a celebratory buffet. We were able to get a hamburger, a hot dog afterward. And then going back to our rooms and watching the game all over again on TV back in our rooms. That's what I remember about that experience of being there. And many more folks have other memories about that time in the desert. It's certainly a time I will never forget. And I will treasure it as long as I live.
Andy, me thinking back on that game, one of the things that makes that game so great was the fact that Cam Newton did not have the greatest game. He really did not have one of his better games, but the rest of that team stepped up. The defense stepped up. Guys like Michael Dyer stepped up. And so you saw this team actually able to succeed when their best player was really kind of having an off night.
And it was an off night by his standards. It wasn't an off night for a quarterback, but it wasn't Cam Newton that we saw in the second half against Alabama,
right,
or against South Carolina, or against Arkansas, or against Carolina in the SEC championship game. It wasn't, or that run against LSU at Jordan-Hare Stadium. It wasn't that kind of night, but you were facing the second best team in the country,
right,
as it turns out, in Oregon. They had something to do with how Cam played that night against that team. They were so very good and better than we thought they would be defensively, I think. And I think Oregon would say the same thing about Auburn's defense. Listen, that was an Oregon team that was incredibly prolific that season. No one had stopped them to that point. They were undefeated, just like Auburn was in that game. And yet that Auburn defense had something to say about what happened in that game. I will say this, as much as we talked about the offense for that Auburn season, and it was as good as any time we've seen at Auburn, from the second half of the win against Alabama to the end of that championship game, that defense played its best football of the season. Second half against Alabama, that whole game against South Carolina in Atlanta, and that game against Oregon, that defense played its best football of the season in those three games. Think about that. Those three games turns out to be the three most important games of that season.
Andy, what was the environment like coming back to Auburn, riding off that high after the national championship win?
Well, one of the things I remember is the weather had been awful here in Auburn. We had an ice storm, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And some folks couldn't even get on a plane to fly back to Auburn. Our buddy Rich Perkins, a former radio guy himself, he and his then wife had to drive back, get a rental car, and drive back from Arizona because they couldn't get on their plane. I was on a charter back, but we're hearing all the stories about people's pipes that had burst in their homes in Auburn. We got back to Montgomery. We flew back into Montgomery on a flight, and the Auburn team flight had preceded us back to Montgomery. And that was a huge flight with all those players and all those bags and that type of thing. And as I understood it, the baggage handlers there in Montgomery had to take a break because it had taken such a long time to take all the bags off the Auburn team plane that we waited around forever just to get our bags off of our flight so we could then take a bus back to Auburn. But there was, you know, great joy and great celebration. The celebration that took place at Jordan-Hare Stadium on that crisp Saturday was terrific to watch. And I talked to then Auburn Mayor Bill Hamm afterward on my radio show, and I said, "Have you ever spoken in a crowd of 70,000 people before?" And he thought about it for a second. He just said, "You know what? I guess I haven't. That will be the largest crowd that I ever speak in front of." Was that crowd that day. So it was a great day. I remember watching the City of Auburn Tumors Corner cam and watching people rolling Tumors Corner after that game. We were in Arizona. They were here celebrating. It was a grand celebration, as well it should have been.
The number one win for Auburn football since 1995, and a number one win in many people's lives, as we've alluded to. Auburn over Oregon by a score of 22-19. Andy Burcham is the voice of the Auburn Tigers. He's joining us here on Sports Call today. And as one of his colleagues, Brad Law, mentioned to us a little bit earlier today, it's a landmark that we're checking off in terms of getting closer to a new academic and athletic year with the Auburn Sports Network, as we are now 3 weeks away from the first Tiger Talk of the season. Auburn football opens up fall camp tomorrow, and it's here, Andy.
Yeah, whether we're ready for it or not, it's here, isn't it? The team will report to camp tomorrow. The first practices will be on Friday. And I think these are going to be very tough, physically demanding practices for Auburn, especially before school starts, when all of the parameters of the 20-hour work week or the 20-hour practice week come in. Without school, they can practice much more, and I think they'll take advantage of that. So, yeah, it's begun. I was back at home in Illinois, in my childhood home, this past weekend. My first time to go home in a year and a half and see family and some friends. Went to a Cardinal game and saw the only Cardinal loss on the weekend, of course. and then you come back and it's all right, it's ready. You know, that's the last little time of vacation time, the last little family time, and now it's time to buckle down. Now, we've been preparing here at the Auburn Sports Network, like everyone has, for the start of this season. I was working on spotting boards today, as a matter of fact. Have been for a month, and we'll start to work on the Akron side of it here pretty soon. So while we've been working on it, for me, that last little time at home with family and friends was kind of like that last little respite before all of this starts again. But you know what? It's the job that I love, and I can't wait to get to September 4th and see what this football team will be like in its first year under Brian Harsin against the Zips of Akron.
Yeah. We can't wait. Obviously, you're filling out that spotting board, and on the offensive side of the football, people are excited to see what this young wide receiver room can be going into 2021. You look at that position group, Andy. What do you see ahead of this upcoming season?
Well, for me, offensively, that's the biggest question mark going into this season. Last year, it was the offensive line. This year, I think it's the wide receiver spot. I think this offensive line will be much better than it was a year ago. For one thing, it is a healthier offensive line. I think it's a bigger, stronger offensive line. They've had a year together to work. They have a year of experience under their belt. They have a spring practice under their belt that they did not have going into the 2020 season. The wide receiving core is to me, it's two different things. I think it's a very talented wide receiving core. However, it's an unproven wide receiving core. You know, everybody's gone from a year ago. All those guys that turned out to be, you know, the go-to guys are now trying to make an NFL roster. And so all these young guys will have to step up now. What I love about this wide receiving core, I love the size that we have. I mean, they're 6'1", 6'4", and 6'4" out there. Bigger, taller targets for Bo Nix in that quarterbacking room for the Tigers. I like that. It's a very deep wide receiving core. It's just unproven at this point. That will be very interesting for me to see from an offensive side how quickly that wide receiving core develops under wide receivers coach Cornelius Williams.
Andy Burcham is kind enough to join us here. We're getting ready for Auburn football coming up this season. What about the defensive unit, Andy? Before we get out of here, what are some of those big question marks that you might have going into 2021?
I don't know if it's a big question mark. I think the question mark for me defensively is interior, defensive tackle and nose guard.
Right.
I don't know if it's as deep as they would like right now. We'll see that depth probably develop throughout the season. I like Auburn's defensive ends. I like its edge group. I love the secondary, and I love, and that's all capitalized
all caps
and exclamation marks the linebacking core. I love Papo and McClain. I love Ricochet Rabbit and Owen Papo there. The depth will develop under those guys. But I love the way that back seven looks for Auburn. The linebacking core and those secondary pieces. I really, really like that. I think this has a chance to be a special defensive group. Now, it's all under brand new head coaches. Every coach on that defensive side is brand new to this Auburn staff. While Zach Etheridge is back as a coach for Auburn, he has not coached Auburn at the spot that he is at. So it's going to be very interesting to see that. And listen, here's one thing we don't talk about very much, is the fact that Auburn's kicking crew is back. You've got Carlson ready for his final season at Auburn. Your two punters from a year ago are also back. I like the stability of the kicking game for Auburn. Now, does that not mean that Auburn needs to be better as a punting unit than it was last year? Absolutely does. It also means that Anders needs to continue to get better. I think he will. We've seen that in every year that he and his brother have been at Auburn. But, I mean, this is the eighth year that a Carlson will be kicking for the Tigers. To me, at least for this one year, there's a bit of stability there, a little bit of comfort knowing that those guys are back.
We can't wait. It's getting closer, as you said. Today's August 4th. The first game is September 4th, and here we are 3 weeks away from the first Tiger Talk of the year. Go ahead, and before we get you out of here, Andy, plug the latest Talking Tigers podcast and some of the other projects that you've got going on throughout the year.
Rob Taylor is Auburn's head coach of Auburn wheelchair basketball. Rob went to the University of Illinois. He then got his master's at Missouri. He grew up in a family with an uncle that was disabled and played and coached in wheelchair basketball, and that's where he got his start. And sure, is now in his fifth year as Auburn's wheelchair basketball coach. He is also an assistant coach for the U.S. Paralympic men's wheelchair basketball team that is the two-time gold medal champs.
Awesome.
And they're getting ready to go to Tokyo. So Rob is this week's Talking Tigers podcast a guest, and he talks about his time at Auburn and his time with the U.S. Olympic team. Here's a little bit of a hint on that. Coaches do not receive gold medals. So Nell Fortner, when she was the women's basketball coach, received a ring, but not a medal itself. But Rob does have two gold medals.
Wow.
They're tattoos on his shoulder. There is a tattoo artist in town that has taken the likeness of each of the two team's gold medals that he has been an assistant on, and he's hoping, and he has room to add more there. So
that's cool.
Rob. Coming up next week, we will continue to talk Olympics. You'll hear from Monday morning starting at 8. You'll hear from Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graba, whose brother Jess was the coach for Suni Lee at the Olympics, has been her coach, and now they will pass Suni Lee, metaphorically, from one Graba to another, from Jess Graba to Jeff Graba. And Jeff talks about he and his twin brother Jess, who at one time were looking perhaps to go to the Air Force Academy, instead started a band in Minneapolis, St. Paul, went from wrestling to gymnastics, and both now are outstanding gymnastics coaches. So we talked some Olympics with Jeff Graba in a couple weeks. You'll hear from Mike Lutzenkirchen and Nosa Egwai as they're getting ready for the Chicago Marathon and how that will help the Letzi 43 Foundation. And beyond that, I don't know. I'm working on that.
I love it.
That's the three Talking Tigers podcasts that are in the hopper right now.
Can't wait. We'll be listening to all of them for sure. Andy, we always do appreciate the time, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
War Eagle, guys. Thank you.